he said, we're not reopening a single Lucas case, but I am investigating you.
And we're live.
We are live.
This is the first day after Christmas.
Oh my God, Christmas is exhausting as a parent.
You know, we had a lot lined up for December. I was thinking about all the different Christmas horror movies we could watch.
Yeah.
And then we got sick, and then we got busy, and we recorded one episode.
I like Bisney.
Bisney?
Yeah.
We recorded like, wasn't it one episode during December?
Yeah.
Did we get two?
No, because we were sick, I think, the first week. We had a week on, and Christmas was last week. Just passed, and I was like, we're not gonna have time, and we might not have time for New Year's, but we're gonna try. Gosh darn it,
we're doing this.
Maybe next year we can plan it and take the last 2 weeks off if we plan it better, but probably not.
There were times like you dropped that bombshell on me that you'd never seen Gremlins.
Yeah,
so I was thinking, well, of course, we're gonna have to see Gremlins this year. We didn't see Gremlins
year. Because I just didn't think we'd have time.
So that one's kind of on me. I ended up buying Krampus and watched that Christmas night.
How was it? Was it festive
it was okay.
enough for you?
It was fine. I mean, it was okay. Santa Jaws, another one that I just saw this
okay,
year.
Okay, now, I've heard you mention Santa Jaws.
Yeah.
Is it a shark that's also Santa Claus?
Okay, yeah.
Amazing. Okay, I just...
And they made it work.
Amazing. I just... Because you just keep bringing it up. Yeah, Santa Jaws. And I'm like...
Okay, it's a shark with a Santa hat on.
Beautiful.
Who's wrapped in Christmas lights.
I would... And so I imagine that makes him cranky.
So the way that they managed to do this in this movie... There's this kid who's a comic book artist,
mm-hmm.
and he has a comic, him and his friend, like his friend writes it, he draws it, like the artist is the main character, and he has a comic called Santa Jaws, and he comes across a magic pen.
So.
Who makes his drawing come to life.
Okay, I was also, I like that, but I was also kind of hoping it was just one day a shark was just innocently swimming. And then got caught up, like, jumped for some reason. I don't even think sharks
would jump.
Well, then
it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Because sharks, they don't, like...
What, like Free Willy?
Yeah, like a Free Willy that gets caught up.
He jumps over the kid?
No, just gets caught in some Christmas lights that are on a boat. I don't know.
He can only be harmed by Christmas stuff, too.
He can only
like, giant candy canes and whatnot.
Okay, but he's... But the hat he wears...
She,
like,
actually... Okay. Santa Jaws is a woman.
Okay, but the hat she wears and the lights around her don't harm her?
No.
But they're
not weapons being used against her. Surprisingly good. Not right. A bad movie, Santa Jaws.
Like live action?
Yeah, live action. It's a live action movie. Like, the acting's good. The characters are good. The plot, surprisingly good. Like, it's not a bad movie, all things considered.
When did it come out?
I don't know. I think it's new. I've only seen it this year. Like, I've never heard of Santa Jaws previously.
Yeah, you've mentioned Santa Jaws like a lot, and I don't think...
No, not a lot. 3 times.
Okay. Well, I mean, it felt like a lot.
Santa Jaws feels like a lot. A lot to digest there, so to speak. But anyway, you know, I've been thinking about Christmas movies in general.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to shit on Christmas movies, and I think they deserve it. But I will say, there are a few really good Christmas movies.
Yeah, I think we talked a little bit about this.
I think we did.
We have
Muppets. We brought up Babes in Toyland, I think that's when I said Christmas movies generally suck, which is why we include Die Hard.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It counts. It's Christmassy. It takes place at Christmas time. Maybe it doesn't have all the Christmas themes.
I mean, Black Christmas is called Black Christmas. They never once mentioned Christmas in it. You just see carolers. Like, the girls are going home for Christmas.
Yeah.
But they don't mention, like, the date.
You know, that's the one thing I wish was different about Black Christmas. I wish they brought up Christmas more.
Yeah. Also, the timeline makes no sense, because I feel like class would have let out, like, about at least a few weeks before Christmas. And they're all, like, going home, like, for the holidays on Christmas Eve. It just Sorry. Not a big plot hole, but like...
Is it a plot hole?
Not really, it just...
They could have stayed in their sorority until Christmas Eve.
Yes. But most college kids are happy to go home, aren't they?
If I was in a sorority, I think I'd stay.
Yes, you probably would.
Be like, you know what?
If you as Andrew were in a sorority.
Yeah, with Margot Kidder.
And then all the hidden booze.
Olivia Hussey.
You'd just be popping open toilets looking for booze. Like her stash.
Yeah, with booze hidden everywhere.
Her stash would have been discovered a long time ago.
I don't think I would ever look in the toilet.
Yeah.
For alcohol.
I hope you start looking at everyone's toilets the thing from is, now on.
One of her hiding places was a book.
I like that.
Yeah, I can't imagine them opening all the books.
So you're saying she had a good hiding spot.
She did have good hiding spots. So anyway, how did Christmas go for us?
It went really well. It was exhausting, but like it went good.
This year wasn't as exhausting as some of the other years, some of the more previous years.
Yeah, well, it's nice now that we do my family Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And then it's just our house and then your family on Christmas. Like before we'd have to do like our kids' stuff. Then breakfast, and then go to your parents. It was just like very rushy.
Also, my brother from Ohio usually comes up, but lately they've been coming up like a week early.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to hang out with them, do all that stuff, hang out with the kids. It's kind of spaced out more. We have them, we have your family, we have our house, and then my mom's house in one day.
A lot of driving. It used to be just a lot of driving and like rushing. Like our kids were able to open their presents, and they got to play with their toys for a little bit before we left there wouldn't really be time for them to play with their toys. They would just Logan
all right throw them in the car, let's get out of here.
That's kind of how my Christmas mornings were growing up. Like we would do Christmas Eve with my mom's family for dinner, and then my dad's brother we'd go to his house and we'd open presents, go to my uncle's house for breakfast because my uncle couldn't go to my grandma's house for dinner, and then we'd come home for a few hours, then we'd go to my grandma Robinson's house for dinner.
Why couldn't he go to the grandma's house?
I think he was seeing other family.
Oh.
So, yeah. So, and then, like, my parents worked nights, or my dad did. So, like, my mom was doing, like, yeah. So, they must
Christmas
have
Christmas nights?
Yeah, I don't think he got off.
Really?
Yeah.
Ew.
But, yeah, so, like, it was just a lot of, so I guess I've been used to, like, the go of Christmas, but it's nice. I really appreciate. And plus, you get, like, 2 weeks of Christmas that way, too.
Yes.
Because we get the week before with your brother.
That's true. Yeah, it is fun. It is fun to have more time. For Christmas.
Yeah. And not feel like you're rushing one side of the family.
What's your favorite Christmas movie?
I think The Muppets.
It might be The Muppet Christmas Carol. God, that's got to be up there, right?
Yeah. We've been talking about that a lot, but
I love Muppet Christmas Carol.
I love how straight that guy... Oh, God, how did I forget his name? How did I forget his name?
Michael Caine.
Yeah, Michael Caine. He just takes that role so serious when he's amazing. Talking to Muppets.
It's such a weird choice when you think about it. Like, a weird choice that worked perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, they could have had a Scrooge puppet, if you think about
it. Yeah. Like, yeah, they could have all been...
And maybe it would have even made more sense to have a Scrooge puppet. But they went with the most serious actor they could find, juxtaposed to all these goofy-ass Muppets.
I love how the beginning credits, it's the Muppets' names as their character. Like
Gonzo as Charles Dickens. Man, what an awesome movie. Like, the songs of that movie are great.
Like, the kids have watched it, but they don't seem that interested. I'm hoping, like, next year they'll be really into it.
I hope so. What are some of the other good ones that you like?
I like Scrooge, but we didn't watch that this year.
We didn't watch it at all this year.
No.
That's crazy.
I like White Christmas.
White Christmas. Black Christmas.
I think you really wanted me to say Ernest Scared Stupid.
Ernest Scares Christmas.
Yeah. I didn't realize how sweaty they make him.
Oh my God. Like, watching that movie again as an adult, Ernest is so fucking funny.
I know, but I was getting so, like, grossed out by some of the close-ups. Like, he's just, they schlick him up with sweaters. Like, just...
He's the weirdest goddamn movie character. Yes,
and he's so physical. It's just like...
The physicality is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Jim Varney. What a god descended from heaven and like, given to us.
I want my kids to enjoy that humor, but they just were not feeling it this year. Granted, like, he's only three.
No.
But I think, because it is like, he's just thinking the taxi scene at the very beginning.
He's so funny. I couldn't believe how funny Ernest is as an adult watching that.
Might even be funnier.
This is the hardest I've ever laughed watching Ernest.
Yeah, it was good, and I hope one day, it's another one, like, I hope one day the kids will.
I need to see Ernest Scared Stupid again. I wanted to get it this year, but that movie's $15 on Amazon. $15?
Yeah.
Ernest Saves Christmas was $5.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that.
Now, of the underrated Christmas movies, a movie I want to put a shout out to. Grumpy Cat, Worst Christmas Ever.
That is actually, we watched it on repeat like last year.
Multiple times.
I think it was all, I think, yeah.
Christmas time. The movie's
actually
awesome.
Not even Christmas time. I think when you first got it, it was not around Christmas time, and then it was just nonstop.
Yeah, it was when Family Video was going out of business.
Yeah.
They had it for $2, and I was like, you know what? I'll give it a chance. I like the memes.
It is surprisingly.
I rebought just, it.
They just, yeah, so we can just stream it.
It was $1 on Amazon.
Because they don't take themselves seriously.
No.
They just, like, lean into how ridiculous it is.
They have, like, a goofy-ass puppet that they use sometimes for Grumpy Cat.
Meow.
Aubrey Plaza's meow is the... Oh, man. That movie's good. Yeah, I was watching it with my nephews who were up. And I said, trust me, it's really funny. And then Jay comes up to me later. He's like, you're right. That movie was really funny.
It is. Because it's got, like, adult, like, it's got a thing where, that like, the adult humor, that's not, like, that, like, adulty, but then, like, it's just.
You make it sound like it's about blowjobs.
No, I didn't mean it like that, but it's got, like, subtle, like, huh.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, Pixar is really good at, like, slipping in, like, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then it's just, yeah, if you don't go into it expecting.
Listen, it's one of the greatest Christmas movies, so I'm not trying to oversell
it. Go into it expecting greatness.
Go into it expecting this to be
a
top
five
Christmas movie.
Would you give it 5 paws?
5 paws. Then there's Christmas Chronicles 1 and 2,
yeah,
both really
good.
Yeah,
they're both good. Yeah,
Netflix has been killing it on
Christmas
Jingle
movies. Jangle?
Jingle Jangle, I was going to bring up.
We didn't watch that one this year, but I really liked it, the music.
I watched it without you. It's fucking good. It's one of the prettiest Christmas movies ever made. Like,
the costumes
are
I want
insane.
All of their outfits. The music is good. I think there could have been more music.
Mm-hmm.
I was seeing a TikTok.
More jangles.
Like, they were saying, like, they think the pacing with the music was off.
The pacing?
Yeah, like, they'd be, like, I think there was, like, a bunch of songs right up front, and then a huge portion where there's no songs, and then.
I think that might be true.
And that's part of the. And then
now that I think about it,
and then another reason they were trying to talk about, like, why they didn't think Jingle Jangle did it as good. And another one, they're like, because it's on Netflix, they don't get the advertisements. Like, if a regular musical comes out, they play the songs over and over on advertisements, but Netflix does not ever really advertise.
Hmm.
So people hear the songs and know the songs before even going into the movie.
Yeah,
and Jingle Jangle didn't get it, but everyone should give Jingle Jangle that. Christmas Chronicles. I can't believe 2. Yeah, I didn't hate 2. I watched it expecting it to be.
Yeah, 2 was good.
Yeah. Now Logan wants to film Santa at our house. So that's.
I forgot about that. I was going to try to make it work somehow. I need to get a Santa costume. How many more years left do we have? He's 5 right now.
I don't know. I don't know.
How old was the girl in Christmas Chronicles 1? Like 8, 9, 10? 10?
I don't know. I don't know.
I want to know who the oldest kid to believe in Santa Claus was.
Which is just making me think about all the plot holes in Christmas movies.
Bring them up. Let's talk about them right here.
In movies where the adults don't believe in Santa Claus, but Santa Claus is real, who do they think are giving the gifts?
You know, you brought this up to me. Mm-hmm. I thought about this. How would you do this in a movie?
I mean, there's no other way to do it. I get it. That's, like, literally the only way to do it. How would you do it? I feel like you've got a plan, so fucking tell me what that plan is.
No, there is no plan. Here, you know why this plot hole exists?
Because there's no way around it.
I've thought about this
Everyone
way around
it. Everyone just believes
it.
Immediately. I'm fine with that.
You could make it so that the adults are tricked into thinking that they provided the presents by the magic of Santa.
Mm.
But then that brings up to the kids that all their parents are lying to them. It'll make the kids ask a lot of questions. So that's why that plot hole exists.
And it's not like I still enjoy the movies.
Yeah.
Are there any other new ones that are good?
Besides Santa Jaws. Besides Christmas Chronicles.
So
and
Christmas,
Jingle Jangle.
Go back to Christmas Chronicles. So in the first one, there's a scene where Santa's in jail rocking out with prisoners.
Yeah.
That was in Ernest.
Totally ripped from Ernest.
Yeah, I wonder if that, yeah, I enjoyed that. Like, that's probably where they got it from. So really, we have, like, a lot of movies we could be having our kids watch all December.
They don't get it that December is the land of Christmas movies.
Yeah, we'll get them.
I fear it may be too late. Well, Naomi, Logan's going to be six next Christmas.
And Naomi just does not like movies really yet. I mean, she likes them, but then she's like, I'm bored.
She likes Sunny Bunnies, and that's it.
Because it's like 6 minutes long. An episode's like 3 minutes long. That's her attention span.
Oh, man. So we had the gift exchange with your family, mm-hmm. and she got all five Sunny Bunnies.
Yeah, she was like, because she opened the present, and like they were all wrapped in like cellophane, so she couldn't quite see what they were. So I was unwrapping it, and I handed her one Sunny Bunny, and she was like, then I handed her another one, and she was, her face and her expression just kept getting bigger and bigger. And you were with Logan. I don't think you were paying attention, because like, it was hard to get. I couldn't get a picture as I was. I just wish I could have gotten her.
I missed all of it.
Yeah.
But she's so excited. She loves them. And then she carries them around in her backpack. And
her Peppa Pig.
They make these noises every time you like drop them. So like you pick up the backpack and like I dropped it down and it sounds like all the gremlins are inside the backpack. They like just all start laughing at the same time. There's no way to change the batteries though. It's gonna bum me out when they finally die.
But she slept with them on Christmas Eve and was playing with them for who knows how long because. And then I think what happened because she had them all right by her head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what happened on Christmas morning because she woke up earlier than I think she wanted to. I think she touched it. Because I heard somebody start laughing. So then Logan heard it too. I was like, well, just wait a few minutes. And then I heard her moving around, so I went up and checked on her. But I do think the Sunny Bunny is like, woke her up.
I gotta say, watching Sunny Bunnies, it's actually a really good show. It's a really good kids show.
It's one of those ones on Netflix where they don't talk.
Yeah, it's a Russian show. Masha and the Bear, another Russian show very similar to mm-hmm. this. Mighty Little Beam is an Indian show like that where they don't
talk. I know. I think they just don't want to. Yeah, there's a lot of shows where the characters don't really talk.
Well, it's because, like, Sunny Bunnies is in, like, 160 countries.
Yeah, it's just so.
You don't have to translate it if they don't say anything.
Bomb. I love when Naomi does the theme music.
Yeah. She does it every time I ask her, too, which I like. I'm like, Naomi, sing the song. She's like, bam, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. Just no tone about her voice.
Logan can get the tone sometimes. But like should we move on from Christmas?
Oh, how dare you. Christmas we probably is should
over,
though.
Yeah.
Christmas is over.
And we have this episode, we've got some stuff to talk about.
So last time we ended by rolling the Omni die, a 100-sided die.
It was not 100. It was my percentile dice.
Ashley.
I'm rooting.
I'm telling stories.
You need to buy me a 100-sided die. They exist.
Anyway, so we rolled this 100-sided die.
It landed. It's so big.
It's so big. It landed on, if I recall correctly, 21.
I believe that was, yes.
Which turned out to be Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Which we have not watched yet.
Not watched it yet. No. But.
Surprise, we're not watching it.
Yay. No. So this is Henry Lee Lucas that this movie is based on. An actual serial killer who mm-hmm. murdered 600
people.
How did he do that, actually?
I don't know. The mechanics just. I mean, he must have started.
Like, he'd murder one person, and then that day.
Like, that day.
Murder someone 1,000 miles
away.
Yeah,
he would be in Seattle and somehow get to Florida in, like, 2 days, murdering a bunch of people on the way.
So.
Look.
Well, it turned out that he has magic powers.
Which, I really hope that's throughout the movie goes.
I think you're going to be real upset by this movie.
God damn it. Okay, so we thought we would prep ourselves by watching The Confession Killer.
The Confession Killer. It's on Netflix.
It's a 5-part miniseries.
Each episode is 15 minutes long. Mm-hmm. Really interesting.
Dude, every fucking. I thought we would be watching like an episode or two, but we're going to finish it because we need to. We just finished episode 3.
And what a cliffhanger that left us on.
So the first episode just tells the story like, oh, he got caught after murdering his fucking 15-year-old girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. He's like 48. Right?
Yeah, he's old. With three teeth on top, and I think he's got his bottom teeth.
I think he's just got the three. I don't think he's got bottom.
Oh, shit. But yeah, so that murdered that, and this old lady he was living with, he murdered her. And then it starts, and then the police are, the Texas Rangers are investigating, and then they realize he might have killed more people and more people.
Well, no. So it was in court. I think it was after he was sentenced. And then he says, what about the other 100 people I killed?
Mm-hmm.
And then pandemonium erupts. Like,
what the fuck? Yeah.
Could you imagine hearing that in court? Now, the way they pitch the show to us, we kind of know that he's full of shit.
Yeah.
They didn't know he was full of
shit. They didn't know he was full of shit.
So, like, you hear that, this guy's a murderer, and then he says he killed 100 other people. Like, you'd go crazy.
That first episode just focuses basically on, like, him telling the truth about killing all these people. And then it...
Maybe.
And then it ends with talking about one of his possible victims. My favorite one was when the Japanese reporters came. I think that was the first episode.
Yeah, they were, like, doing a documentary on him. Yeah. They had these two Japanese guys. And then...
He's like, I killed someone in your country.
I killed someone in your country.
And they're like, whoa.
Wow, how'd you get there?
I drove.
He drove.
So, Japan. Yeah, he didn't get past fourth grade, I think they said.
I believe it.
He had a very bad home life. He did kill his mom. I think that's one known for sure. Oh, well, do we not know that?
It's coming into question.
Is his mom? I thought he
to
was...
me, it's coming I into think, question. I think I don't he, know if he I killed think his he mom
served,
or not.
I think he served time for that.
So?
Like, years ago.
So?
Yeah, true. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Oh, he's convicted. Okay. Never mind. He did kill his mom without question.
Okay, so the first episode is just all like, oh, yeah, then he confesses that he killed a bunch of people, and then they start throwing in hints that, you know, shit's not adding up. He's like... given basically kind of like free run of the jailhouse. Like, he's never in handcuffs. People, like the Sheriff Botwell, is like bringing him his fucking milkshakes all the time for like confessing.
Yeah, he got a milkshake per confession.
Yeah, so he's like, I got like, 10.
How do you want him? You want 8 milkshakes right now or once a day for 8 days?
There's this lady, Clemmy, who is like reading the Bible to him, and he's like, no woman's ever treated me like you do. And just
that girl I killed.
For that 15-year-old girl.
What was her name? Becky?
Becky, who was 15 years old. And they're like, yeah, we found her like shard remains in like some outside cooking thing.
So they
like,
did find her remains.
They found human remains.
They found something.
Something that they thought were they found something that could have been human remains. But we're gonna get there. And then the second episode, which you fell asleep in. They're starting to unravel.
Towards the end. Most of it.
So you start. What happened?
I'll rewatch the end.
Okay, but you tell at the beginning.
I don't remember.
The episode.
I was half
asleep. They're talking about, like, one of the Debbie, who was a victim, and her family. They're talking to her, to them, and then they're like, yeah, so we got this confession from him, and then we went and talked to him, and we realized it was all bullshit, because he claimed that he went through the sliding door, but there was, like, a huge curio cabinet in front of it, so you couldn't go in that way. And, like, just all this, like, so we know it wasn't him. So they're trying to figure out the truth. There's the guy that interviewed Ted Bundy. He came in to interview him because he's like, oh, shit, a really prolific new serial killer. Hell yeah, I'm going to interview this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's starting to figure out things. And, like, every time Botwell leaves, Henry Lucas is like, yeah, I didn't do any of this to, like, the guy.
Yeah.
It's, like, on recording. And he's like, I'll talk to you later. And then it's just...
Anytime anyone with integrity talks to him, they're like, this guy's full of shit.
Full of shit. The things don't make sense. Police officers are handing him the files and records and, like, just the...
Yeah, they'll leave, like, the case out on the table. You know, Henry will, like, go through it for however long they leave it with them.
I mean, if he...
And then they'll ask him details about the murder he did.
Yeah, and he'll be like, yeah, I can... And some of the details line up, some don't.
They just kind of ignore the ones that don't.
Yeah, so like just racking up all these murders. He keeps growing his number. It's to 600 at some point.
Yeah, first it's preposterous that he killed 100 people.
Dude, I can't even.
And then It's now up to 600.
So they made this huge, the Rangers make this huge task force, and they're bringing all these other cops from all across the country.
And Henry's like a part of this task
force. Yeah, he's part of this task force.
He's the centerpiece.
Basically gets free reign of the jailhouse. Like, he's not, so I, like, of course he wants to keep this going, because, yeah, the first episode, they kept talking about how he was a drifter, and that comes into, they're like, no, like, later on, like, he was not as much of a drifter as they thought he was, but, like, so assuming that he's a drifter, probably never had like a stable house or stable diet or anything. So now he's just getting food all the time. He has a really, I mean, it's a jail cell, but it's probably better than if you're a drifter, like who the fuck knows where you're living. Yeah, just, he's getting respect from people. He's a man who never had respect. Like, you get why, like.
Even if it's like fake respect.
Yeah, he's still gonna.
I don't think he's smart enough to know
the
difference. No,
because he has a fourth grade education. Like, you can see how easily.
Like, one of his eyes is fucked up. I think they were saying he got hit in the head.
Yeah, that was a kid. That was a story he told, and they were like, they gave him a CAT scan, and they're like, yeah, that damage lines up with like what age he said it happened.
So he's very likely brain damaged.
Yeah.
And he also seems like part of his personality is that he's a people pleaser.
Yeah.
So he's trying to make these people happy. He knows they want him to confess. So he confesses to murders, says he did it. And then he gets stuff, he gets milkshakes. He gets cigarettes, he just kind of gets whatever.
He gets whatever, yeah. And then these victims, and they keep like, they're like, yeah, you're making these victims' families feel better because they know the answer now. He's like, yes, I'm helping people.
Yeah. this is turning out to be a crazy docuseries.
Yeah, so like in each episode, it drops like a new bombshell at the end of it. Like, so the second episode ends with like a DA getting involved. And he's like, yeah, I think
what was his name?
Vic Fiesel.
Am I saying it right?
Fiesel. I think it's F-E-Z. Yeah. The guy, the author that interviewed Ted Bundy and now is interviewing him, his house got broken into and only tapes of Henry Lee Lucas got stolen and he didn't report anything. And then Texas Ranger Botwell was like, man, it's a shame about that breaking at your house. He was like,
yeah, that is a shame. How'd you hear about it?
And then they bring up, well, we're taking it to the DA in Waco because there's three cases
DA
there.
The DA in Waco, that's Vic Fiesel.
Yeah.
Who we just mentioned.
This episode was just.
So this third episode, Vic Fiesel, he kind of takes custody from the Texas Rangers.
They said it was a standoff almost.
Yeah. The Texas Rangers weren't happy about it, but he takes custody of Henry Lee Lucas.
I think we should go back
a little bit.
In episode two, he gets put on death row.
Oh, yeah.
Because he gets tried for the Orange Sock case, and he goes through it, and his lawyers are like, yeah, he didn't do it. So, like, all these people are trying to prove that he didn't do all these other cases, so they're trying to prove, like, the timeline and everything. Like, he was in Florida when this happened. They had witnesses and that paper. He leaves a huge paper trail of everywhere he actually is. So he said, so blah, blah, blah. He gets found guilty and is good and he put on death row. And then as he's leaving, they're like, oh, how do you feel? Or whatever, you know, the reporters. He's like, great. I didn't do it, but I feel great. And they're like, why? He's like, I got what I wanted. I want to die by, like, he called it, like, suicide by conviction. Because he's like, well, I murdered Becky and this old lady. I feel bad for it, but I can't suicide because if I kill myself, I won't be able to see her in heaven.
Yeah.
But so he's on death row now. So I just, yeah. But
so
just,
his defense attorney was talking, which made me laugh. And he was like, basically he had a really easy case. Like, he could prove that Henry wasn't there, but his defendant was working against him.
Yeah. Just
trying to get killed.
Suicide by conviction, I think, is how they worded it.
Oh, that's funny.
I wanted to make sure I shared that because it was just so, like, there's, like, footage of him telling reporters this. Yeah, I didn't do it, but I got what I wanted because I wanted.
Yeah, so the Orange Sock Killer, that's the one he got put on death row.
Yeah.
A dead body of a woman found with orange socks.
Was all she had on.
Do they know her name?
I don't know. Don't know her name or if it's just.
Her name was Deborah Jackson, but she was unidentified for 40 years.
Moving on to Vic Fiesel. Fiesel, the Waco district attorney. He starts talking to Lucas, and then he finds out basically what everyone with integrity finds out, that he's full of shit. And so he brings it up to the Texas Rangers.
Because he's talking about how all these other DAs are like, yeah, getting his picture taken with him because they're putting all these people in jail. And he's like, yeah, I wanted my photo op Fuck yeah.
He wanted his photo op too.
And then...
So he brings it up to the Texas Rangers, and they are not happy. They just want their cases to be closed. They don't care who it's closed with.
Yeah, because in that orange sock one, the jurors watched film of Botwell basically feeding him evidence, and then he was like, "Oh, it's just because sometimes he would jog his memory
trying
a little
to help
bit."
Him along.
Yeah, and they were still like guilty, but anyway, yeah. So just...
The Texas Ranger said to Faisal, "Like, look, we're gonna investigate you now."
Motherfucker.
And so a bunch of stuff happens.
This one became like a court drama. It was...
Yeah. Faisal gets arrested and...
indicted and could be for 80 fucking years. 80 years.
On horse shit, it turned out.
Yeah, it turned out because they're going through it. They're like, yeah, we got all this evidence. We have these lawyers saying that you bribed them with money, blah, 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 blah. And then it turns out they brought up this TV reporter who was doing a series on him showing that he was crooked, blah, blah, blah. And there was like 8 episodes. And apparently that's the only episode, the only thing that people who ever decided to run the, like, start the trial watched. Like, oh, based on this, we should do a trial. They didn't investigating before
just
that.
It's just the news. How could you take the news as evidence?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess, when was that this happened? This
that was
maybe
like
early
80s, 90s? Early night, late 80s, early 90s.
People believe the news back then.
Yeah, but it's insane. So yeah, so he's not in jail for 80 years. He got off. But...
So he got off, and then if you Google biggest libel case in history, which I just did, it is him.
Yeah, because in the end, he's like he wanted to sue someone, and
he
rightfully
wanted to sue the Rangers,
but he couldn't sue the Rangers
they were
or
like,
the FBI.
They have immunity.
Yeah, so he just sued the court reporter, not the court reporter, the news anchor.
Yeah, Channel 8, I think it was. Mm-hmm. He sued them for $58 million. And then he was like, yeah, my political career was just, it was pretty dead. I'm thinking, you're trying to go into politics? You just won $58 million.
He wanted, well, most DAs, I think, eventually want to move up in politics.
Or win $58
million. Yeah, and then his wife divorced him. His kids had a rough life after that. But,
he had a tough time.
But it's just.
You could make a swimming pool with gold coins.
Well, his dog got poisoned too. Unrelated.
I'm
but
not
just,
a dog person.
I know, but just.
$68 million can buy an estimated 165,000 puppies.
They were like casing his house. Like,
$58 million.
I know, he's fine now, but before all this happened, before he was arrested, he was like, his dog got poisoned. His, like, people were trying to like wiretap his house.
That's fucking crazy. Like, yeah, the police kind of scare me. Like, if they turn on you.
Dude, and they have such fragile egos. I mean, all humans do. But a lot of these documentaries where it's like miscommunications because of fucking egos.
Well, people in power.
Not even, yeah.
That's what it turns out
people,
to be. Like,
they're just
they
because they're clinging to their power.
Generally have a lot of ego.
Yeah.
And if.
Because this one, like. That ego. Like, every other murder documentary that you watch, if there's like. Multiple like districts fighting for like they don't communicate shit with each other. It's like you're trying.
Mm-hmm.
This one, you know, they had teamwork. they had teamwork. Everyone was, working
like
the police,
the news.
Well, no, they had teamwork from across the country with that task force because police from across the country were coming in and be like, hey, what about this case?
Yeah.
And like,
and I don't think they're all crooked.
No, I don't think they're all crooked. But there's a lot of pressure to solve cases.
Right, there is.
Because you don't want to leave families hanging. And at this, so I'm sure some of them truly believed he could have done it.
I think a lot of them.
Yeah.
Like across the country, you hear about this guy. Like, think about it from their perspective.
Yeah, like
we know
how
it's,
hopeful.
It's bullshit from our perspective. Because
we know.
Going into it. But then they don't know.
They
this
don't
guy
know.
Killed, apparently... 100+ people.
So now they can
across
tell,
the country.
Now they can tell family randomly. Members, hey, we think we know who did it. Yeah, like I get it.
So like maybe you would at least check it out. Hey,
exactly.
Were you in here? Were you in this state at this day? Do you know this chick? I'm like, yeah, I killed her.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, thank God.
I found her. I've been working on this case for like 10 years. Yeah, I get it.
Absolutely.
Some of them, though, were probably a bit shadier.
Those Texas Rangers, they were definitely crooked.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucked up what they did.
Do you think, actually, that they believed him for the Becky one and the old lady one that they first caught him for?
Yeah.
So that one, they're like, okay, he's already murdered people, so, like, he's not a good guy. So if we get him for a few more that maybe he didn't do,
yeah. Now, the real question, do you think he actually killed them?
Well, should we explain how episode 3 ended?
Yes. I think it's time.
So Vic is like, you know what? I've lost hope. I can't do my job anymore. I quit before my term was over. Blah blah blah. And
yeah,
because
everybody still thinks Vic is a shady, is still full of shit.
Yeah,
like he just got a good lawyer and got off.
Yeah.
On it.
And then what happened?
So what did this episode end with this woman saying, like, yeah, it was pretty weird. I found out I was dead. That's news to me. Turns out it's fucking Becky.
Yeah.
She's alive.
This
15-year-old girl that our guy, Henry, chopped up into little pieces, burnt in his oven, spread across everywhere, is alive.
Is alive.
And well.
And yeah. We'll find out, I guess. But that's how that's. But every.
What a cliffhanger.
That's the biggest cliffhanger. But, like, yeah. Both episodes, like, all the episodes have had, like, a great hook to reel in, but like, you're wild. Like, I'm not.
Did this
I'm
guy
not,
kill anybody?
I don't know. Yeah, so that's why you were asking, did he kill his mom? Yeah.
I don't know if he killed her either.
I don't know.
This guy, he might not have killed a single person.
So we've got two episodes to watch, so we're going to definitely watch them. And we'll probably watch. We'll see. If episode 4 ends up on a bit, we might be back after episode 4. Ooh. Episode 4.
Yeah, we'll probably do a recap after 4, I think.
We'll see. Yeah, we might have. Yeah.
Just a quick one. We're already 40 minutes in.
We haven't even watched the movie yet. But yeah, I think that's where we're going to leave it so I can get some sleep.
Okay. Okay, we'll be back. And we're back.
It's like almost a week later, I feel like.
We had one failed attempt at trying this. You got a sudden case of COVID. It was strange.
Just last one day? One night even?
Well, yeah, a little less. Yeah, it was. She started coughing, had new confusion. That was a symptom.
It hit me quicker than the 60 minutes.
Okay. Anyway, so we're back.
We're back.
Third attempt number 3.
So, but we should spoil and say we're not going to watch the movie.
Yeah, we're not watching Henry this week.
Not this week. We might watch it at some point.
Well, probably maybe next week.
We could do it for next week. That might be fun.
So we basically just ended up binging this whole show about him.
So the last we left off, it was the cliffhanger. They were like, dang, Becky's still alive. And then the episode starts and they're bringing up like another family's victim. And she's like, I just want him to burn. Well, not burn, but they just wanted this guy. They wanted Henry to pay for his crimes. And yeah. I'm like, okay, I want to get to Becky, though. So they're just having these families talk. Because it took a while before they brought back the Becky thing.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, yeah, this is great. You guys are venting your frustration. I want to hear about Becky.
Yeah.
It's been like a half hour.
Yeah. And like, I don't even know which, or if they how long we actually waited
it
to
was
resolve the Becky thing. Because, yeah. So
I thought they'd get right into it.
Yeah. It was like, so in one of the previous episodes, there was this family, a husband and a wife, who were like, he did not kill our daughter. So they did a ton of research to prove that he couldn't have possibly been there. And the cops were like, oh, JK, we don't care. So there was that family. Whereas this family, they were like, yeah, we don't care if he didn't do the crime for the orange sock kill. He killed ours. So he deserves to pay.
Yeah. He can die for any of this crap.
Yeah. It's like, because he killed ours. So, you know, so they were like, so upset that people wanted to try to get him off of death row. But I think we'll go back to that. Let's get to Becky.
Yeah.
Or do you want to talk about this?
I would think this too. Like, one of these murders he's able to be put to death for.
Mm-hmm.
And so that one he confessed to. Now he's on death row.
Well, he confessed to, and then after he was on trial and did it, he's like, just kidding, I didn't do it.
And they kind of proved that he couldn't have done it.
Yeah.
I feel like if he killed my family, he'd be like, you can still die.
Yeah, you still did a crime that I lost my
that
family.
I want you to die for.
So it's, but I guess with our legal system, he shouldn't be put to death for the crime that he did not commit.
Yeah, it's a technicality.
But, yeah, so that story starts this episode, and I'm like, where the fuck is Becky? Good old Becky.
So
she knows shit.
Yeah, she knows some shit. So first off, that DA who won that huge libel suit.
Vic Faisal?
Yeah, I think that's it. He gets in contact with her. He's, like, interviewing her, finding out all this stuff. Like, she knows all the people in, like, the neighborhood and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like she really is Becky.
Yeah, like...
And so he starts just talking mad shit.
I guess she was related to Henry's weird killing friend. I don't think we've really
Otis
brought up Otis.
Otis? I think it's Otis.
They keep saying Otis, but it's spelled Otis, so some people call him Otis. Anyway, I think there was a weird relationship with those two. Otis is gay. He is, like, outright gay. And I think there was just a weird, like...
How did I miss that?
I don't know, but he was outright gay.
Oh. It must have just forgot.
Yeah, they're very... So I don't know. Not that a gay relationship is weird, but I just do think there was a weird, like...
Well, they didn't say anything about Henry.
No, but I think Otis probably wanted to weirdly...
Wanted to or did?
Possibly both, but I just... Anyone attracted to Henry confuses me.
Prison.
Yeah, anyone attracted to Henry confuses me. But anyway, so Becky was Otis's niece. I think that's...
Okay.
Just, it was an interesting tidbit. I'm like, oh, that's how he's hanging out with a random 15-year-old girl. She's not so random. It's Otis's.
So...
Because she is 15.
Finds Becky and confirms it's her.
Mm-hmm.
And starts talking shit to the police.
To the police. Like, yeah, we got Becky. Becky's alive. And the ranchers are like, there's no way she's alive. We found her bones.
They found bones that... They never said it was her bones.
That Henry claims were her bones.
So Henry... This crime was a little different because Henry took them to
where
the bones
instead of
were.
Him. Yeah.
Most of the other ones, they knew where the body was. They took Henry there.
And then he'd be like, oh, yeah, totally did.
Yep. Right here, those bushes. And then they're kind of like moving his hand a little. Like, oh, I mean by the creek there.
Mm-hmm.
So this one, he actually brought them to bones.
Yeah.
And so we think, oh, she's probably definitely dead. And then one of these Dallas Rangers is talking to Vic. He's like, she's pretty much definitely dead.
But if you want to bring her, go for it. We're going to like...
We're going to put her on the stand. Put her under oath. And then he's like, oh, geez. They're going to put her under oath?
I need to talk to her about perjury. So he's talking to her and she's still like saying, yeah, it's me. I'm me. And then he sends his wife to like sift through her shit. So she does. Opens her suitcase and finds letter after letter from Henry. Explaining in letter like details about Becky.
Yeah. So she has all the right things to say to prove that she's Becky. And her real... What was her real name?
Frida. But that was Becky's real name.
That was her real name?
That was always her real name was Frida something something. And then Becky was a weird... I don't know where Becky... I don't know if that's common for Frida.
Oh.
But that was... Because I thought the same thing like back in the first episode. Her real name was Frida. And she went by Becky.
Okay. So Becky has a bunch of BS letters from the King of Liars telling her how to be Becky.
Yeah.
And
she, yeah.
Shouldn't she know?
You would think. So then she's like, yeah, that's not me. I met Henry in prison. You know, I went to visit him, and then I just immediately fell in love with him.
She wants, well, she also met Charles Manson, and I forget who else.
Was it Bundy?
It might have been Bundy. So she just wants to fuck every serial killer.
But before this, so there's a story about how Henry lost Becky that was not murder. In the story, they stop at a truck stop. Becky just... gets into a truck with some random dude. So they're interviewing her, and she's like, this is my husband, the guy I left with, and he drove a truck. And the guy is in on it, too. He describes the truck, but he is a creeper. He looks
so scary looking.
Creepy. Yeah. And, like, he's holding up a picture of Becky as 15, but I think she looked younger in that picture. And the guy's like, so that's what she looked like? And he's like, and then the interviewer guy's like, probably a little older than that, huh? And he was like, no. It's just, it was unsettling.
Okay, so now that we know that Becky is fake, who is this guy? What's his role in this?
That was the
corroborating it.
That was the chick's husband.
That was her actual husband.
I think that was her actual husband. And he was...
Okay, he has to know she's trying to fuck Henry.
Yeah, and others too. I don't know. I think that was her actual... Because they never go back to that, so I just assume that was her actual husband.
There's a lot there that they didn't
tell us about. Yeah, so there's another mystery. I want her to have like a mini episode.
Oh, I would love that. Oh,
because when did this come out?
I don't know.
Because they're interviewing her later on, and she's on a computer. Like, they're doing a Zoom call. So was this during the pandemic?
Could have been.
Or
it
was
no
just,
idea.
You know, they do Zoom calls sometimes because if they can't
sure
travel, like, it's not that odd.
Yeah.
But, like, just
you
wondering.
Don't have to, like, get them there.
Yeah. But, yeah,
I
want to
know more about her husband.
I do,
too. He seems like he kills people,
he
too.
He does. So maybe some of Henry's victims are really his victims. So he's like, yeah.
It could have been.
Oh, that's...
Like, he was that weird and
scary.
He was
so, yeah, and, like, he didn't, he just said that, He just corroborated that that was his truck. He said, like, very little things, but there was just a vibe.
Yeah, and there's like, no focus on him. They show us the scariest-looking guy in the documentary, and then they say nothing. Like,
yeah, just...
Are we not supposed to know how scary this guy is?
I don't know. They met him in the 80s. They were still weird about trusting people in the 80s. Like, they overtrust people still in the 80s, so maybe they're just like, he seems wholesome. He married a 15-year-old, but he seems wholesome. Because we gotta remember, Becky was 15.
Yeah.
No, like, Henry was 48 when he killed, I thought they said that was his wife, I think it was girlfriend. 15-year-old girlfriend. He was 48.
Do you think they were really dating?
Oh, no, I think she was not.
I don't think they were, because they never mentioned this. It's a weird pairing, as you've just said. I don't think they were boyfriend and girlfriend. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think
it doesn't sound likely.
Grooming her.
And with all the lies that were told, we're just supposed to believe this one?
I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, who knows? But that happens. Vic is like, well, I am no longer going to be your lawyer, because he became Henry's lawyer for a little while after he stopped being DA. And he's like, yeah, because he was like, you know what? I want to burn everything to the ground and prove that he didn't do this, that they're like, and then Henry's like, so he's like, fuck you, Henry, I'm out. This might explain, if he got super obsessed with it, with the case, that might explain why his marriage fell apart. But his wife was still his wife when he was asking her to, like, dig around and stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but just speculating, because he blamed, like, all of this. Like,
his marriage, did it fall apart right after that big lawsuit?
Yeah, that's what he was saying.
Yeah. I don't think the marriage was that great to begin with.
Yeah. But I'm wondering, like, but did this his defending him, did that happen before the lawsuit or during the lawsuit? They never really, like...
Before or after?
Because lawsuit was the 90s.
Like, I think he was just looking into all these confessions being BS beforehand. That's what got him in trouble.
Yeah, but I don't think, but he was a DA, so I don't think he could, I don't know if you can, I don't know if he could, I don't quite understand our legal system, so I don't know if a DA can.
I don't know what a DA is. I've been just saying
district attorney.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what they do.
There are elected officials, like sheriffs, so they and that's the anything. Extent that I know. I don't know. But it's like, cause people like to be a DA and then they go up another political.
So they go to little ceremonies.
Because he wanted to become like a senator or something one day. And then he's like, no more politics, my dudes.
Yeah, that ruined him.
I gotta say, though, he's in better shape now.
He looks a lot better now.
Probably all that money he got out.
The money helps. He can
afford.
Buy a personal trainer.
There was a few of them who did a lot, who did glow ups in their like 50s, it looks like. The 80s were just
not. Did not look better.
No. Well, he looked a lot worse. That was his worst.
He basically turned into a gummy bear by the end.
Yeah.
Like a pale gummy bear.
Yeah. So I guess we should talk about that. So that happened. They go back to the story about the victims' families that were like, we don't want Henry to get clemency. So at one point, they're like, we need George Bush to get him off of death row.
Because it did not go the way I thought it was
going to
go.
They're like,
I didn't know how the story
ends. This is Texas. It's George Bush. He's going to want to run for president because this is before he ran for president. They're like, he's not going to like get a guy off of death row. But everyone was like, doing that, so these families of victims, quote-unquote, of Henry's were like, no, we want him to be on death row. Who cares if he didn't do this crime? He killed our family members. He deserves this. So all that is going on, and I was shocked that Bush was like, yeah, get him off of death row.
He said there was enough doubt in this case.
This particular case that he was that
maybe he didn't do it. Mm-hmm. So Bush saved him from death row.
Yeah.
Gotta say, kind of a ballsy move, because... It's not going to go over well with anybody.
Especially in Texas.
Because the guy's reputation is a serial killer, or like the most prolific serial killer of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not that's true, that's still the reputation. So when he gets pardoned,
got off of death row, and now he's serving his life sentences. So then one of the victim's sisters gets super mad and starts like hounding the Bush team, and she's like, you know what, fuck you guys, I'm gonna make you guys regret this decision. Well, she found out that they found the actual murderer to her sister.
Oh, yeah.
She was the one that had the sister and the boyfriend who were killed.
Yeah. I think a couple of them found the real killer.
Yeah. Well, so she found it, and then one of the other ladies, I was like, fuck him, I hate him. She was like, oh, shit. if that one was not really her character. So she started going back to find out about her mom and was like, oh my God, this doesn't make any sense. Now that I'm actually reading the confession carefully with this new lens. And
That's the one by one. Oh, their task force was called Volt. Victims of Lucas T.
Task?
I don't know. Terminations.
I don't know.
Or something. They made up a T word so it could be Volt.
It was a really cool name.
As long as you don't say the whole thing.
Yeah. I don't like... But yeah, so the more and more, not more and more cases, but some cases are being like, oh shit, it's not, like, because they have DNA now.
Yeah.
So they're like, check the DNA.
So they immediately solved a few of these with the DNA.
Yeah, because I guess they swab prisoners now.
Yeah, they swab all the prisoners coming in. So they
and
have
they just run it through databases.
A bunch of sperm. In boxes downstairs.
No, they use their mouths. I did not help that case.
Man. So they go down, they pick up their boxes of cum, they analyze that, mm-hmm. and then they find the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these have been really easy. And so people are like, hey, maybe we should reopen all these other Henry Lee Lucas cases.
And most
and
places
are like,
nope. No.
We're not going to do that.
We're not going to do that.
It's closed.
It's closed. He confessed to it because there was one confession.
We threw the party already.
There was a lot of confessions, but one happened in Colorado. But the crime was a police officer's, I think he was like a chief. He was high up in the ranking. His mm-hmm. son robbed a 7-Eleven or something and murdered and shot and killed the person working there. And so he got thrown in jail for that. And then this Henry Lee Lucas task force. He reaches out to them. I don't know who reached out to who. They didn't cover that. And suddenly Henry's flying to Colorado. And he's like, yeah, I did that crime. And they're like, well, he confessed it. I guess we can't take this crime. So the kid gets like, oh
my God. It's so corrupt.
That was
so corrupt.
And they're talking about like, so Henry is very dumb. He's got an 84 IQ,
uh-huh.
but he's a huge people pleaser. And I guess he must know how to, it's probably not that hard to read what people want.
Yeah.
So he just says whatever people want. So no one has any idea what the truth is because he wants you to like him.
Now the thing is with the Becky thing,
mm-hmm.
was that dumb?
I don't know.
Because it was at one point
in the interview, they're like, "Well, do you think that's Becky?" And he's like, "Well, she knows. I mean, she told me she was Becky." And it's like, but why would you be telling her stuff in the lot? Like, yeah, that's, I don't know. Maybe he's not as dumb.
Yeah. In some ways, he seems really stupid.
Yeah, in other ways, he seems pretty smart. Like,
that was pretty smart what he did with Becky.
But I wonder
clearly
whose
it didn't work.
I wonder whose idea it was.
But it was also kind of dumb because they're going to do a DNA test on her.
But this is so fascinating. So he's attributed to 200 cases, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
And they found 20 cases that they're like, oops, wrong killer. Here's the real killer. And then a bunch of places they're like, yeah, we're not going to go. So after seeing 20 cases, they're still like, nah, I'm good. I'm not going to go over.
Yeah. It's weird because you got to imagine you're a police officer, you're a detective. Like, this is your job.
Yeah. And I could see, like, you know, maybe hearing one or two of his cases didn't shake out, maybe that was long, but what about all these other, like, but as more and more coming up, I'd be like,
I feel like if someone sent me an email on a Monday, hey, should we reopen this Henry Lou Lucas case, and like, I'm still drinking my coffee, I'm tired, no, we're not doing that.
No, he confessed.
We got a confession.
He had all these
it's
details
closed.
That we totally didn't lead him in. That was another thing. They're like, the way they did these interrogations, you're not supposed to talk if someone's confessing. You're supposed to just let them talk.
Yeah.
But they'd be like, okay, and what about, they would show him pictures of the crime scene.
We saw this in Making a Murderer, too, mm-hmm. when they were interviewing that dumb kid.
Another dummy.
They were taking advantage of that dummy.
Yeah. Who was under, like, he was 17. Like,
yeah.
He was a kid.
Was evil what they did.
Yeah. Like, I don't, the uncle, I don't, I care a little bit less about with that. But the kid, like, even if the kid had it's just, he was taken advantage of, he had no idea. They stressed so often how dumb he was. And even in the interview, you could tell, like, watching it, you could tell he was,
oh, yeah.
He had no idea what was going on.
Like, I wonder, did the jury see that confession?
I don't know.
Because that kid went to jail, and I think he's still there.
Yeah, because we never finished season one.
No.
It got hard to, like, I enjoyed watching it, but it also got hard to watch.
Yeah, it was tough. Like, when they're interviewing that kid, that bothered me the most.
Yeah, like, I get, like, yeah, it would suck if either of them got thrown in there, but the uncle was shady and did shitty things.
Yeah.
But that kid was just a kid.
Just some dumb kid.
Dumb kid that, yeah, trusted his uncle.
They're like, what did you do to her head? He's like, stabbed it. Like, no.
Shot it.
Oh, we got him. Like, all right, I got stuff to do. I got to see you guys later.
Yeah, I got, oh, you're not going home, what? And like, yeah, the mom couldn't get a hold. Yeah, that was just so bad for.
That was
yeah.
a fun one.
But yeah, that's how, like, anytime, like, Henry would, like, be able, especially with Botwell. He, like, knew how to read him, so he'd be able to tell, like, oh, this is what he wants me to tell him, like.
Man.
And I get it, like, you want to solve crimes, you want to help the victim's family, but, like, yeah, so I get why, like, I don't think all the cops were shady, but not I think some of them were, and that sucks.
There was one part that kind of impressed me. There was this chick, like, she was the first, like, chick cop there.
Oh, yeah, what she did, which was awesome.
Well... There was talking like she had like a 94% case solving rate, yeah. And I was like, okay, she's up to something. And then it turned out like she was one of the ones with integrity.
Yeah,
like so, she fed him a false story to see if he wouldn't confess.
Well,
to
her
it,
boss kind of she went back to her boss. She's like, yeah, I don't think there's something wrong with this. This isn't adding up. So I think her and a boss either her boss came up with that idea or they did it together. But her she had approval from someone like higher up to like feed them these false like
yeah.
It's crazy.
I thought she'd be like, man, let's close the rest of these cases out.
No.
I used to think so much more of confessions.
Yeah.
Could you imagine being a juror right now?
I wouldn't
Would you believe anything?
I don't think I would believe anything. I wonder now if they either. Ask you if you watch true crime documentaries.
Do you watch Netflix?
Do you watch Netflix? Did you watch any of these documentaries? Yeah. Because if so, I don't think we want you on.
They should. Like, if I was a defense attorney...
Honestly, they should, because you...
I'd ask that question.
Look, you see someone who looks like me, a white lady, in her 30s.
Like, she's gone.
She's gone.
You're out.
You're just gonna... I'm sipping my coffee in, like, knee-high boots and leggings. I'm like, yeah. She
watched
Screwed
Up. What was his motive? I don't care about the confession.
Yeah. Why did he do this? I can solve this. They find out I run a podcast. I'm on a podcast. They don't even need to hear. They don't even care what podcast it is. God damn it. She likes true crime and she does a podcast. Off the jury.
I would never be able to convict anyone. Even if they had it on video. Like, that could be altered.
That could be altered. Look, this deep fake.
Yeah, but the deep fake's now shit.
Dude. Oh, they got DNA evidence all over the place. He spelled it as jizz. It was me. Nah, man.
That's just too obvious.
It's just too... It was a good documentary, though. I'm glad we watched it. We're not watching the movie yet, but I want to say if I were to make this movie, I would totally just want it to be like a courtroom drama. Well, not courtroom drama, but just like I'd want to focus on the fucking ranger. I want to do like what you say. That's not what this movie is about. It's just about Henry killing people. So I'm gonna have to go into it thinking of it as fan fiction that is just focused on one aspect of the character.
Yeah, go in based on whatever. Just. I think the movie will be a lot funnier now.
Oh, yeah, probably it will be. But, like, I would love to see, like, a drama of, like, the intrigue between, like, the police, like, the Rangers and the DA and just people feeding Henry.
They just have Henry in a little box that they carry around.
Speaking of people in Henry's life, I think we need to talk about Clemmy.
Oh, Clemmy, okay.
Clemmy was, like, a lady that hung out... the jailhouse and like did Bible study with the inmates and she was one of the only people at his funeral. They had a weird relationship too, like was very I don't know what was going on, but it was just a weird like
I bet she banged all those prisoners.
I'm wondering, but anyway, they did some singing and then she said she heard the voices of angels. Isn't that what she was saying?
Yeah, she did. She could hear a choir of angels
at his funeral. So, God loves Henry is what I got from this.
That's what you got from that, huh?
And the angels, you know, they're welcoming.
I kind of got that she's not all there.
Probably not. But yeah, I wanted to talk about Clemmy for a minute. And now I think we've covered basically everything.
Ooh, adult fears. I got one of those.
Oh, yes, you do. We'll end it with an adult fear.
My adult fear for today is our attic. It's the scariest place on earth.
Andrew just discovered he's claustrophobic.
Yeah.
He had no idea he was.
I didn't know. Well, I thought my reaction to that is normal, but apparently only 12.5% of the population is claustrophobic.
Explain what our attic
looks
like, though.
Most of them are chicks.
Explain our attic situation, though, because it's not like some attics, you know, are bigger than others.
This is... You can't stand up in this attic. You can, there's, if you go in enough, you can sit up, but mostly I gotta crawl, and there's nails everywhere on the ceiling. So I get scratched, I'm bleeding all the time. There's mouse turds. I haven't seen a mouse yet.
Tell them about the wings.
But I know they're there.
The feathers, not the wings, the feathers.
Yeah, in certain spots, there's just a bird's worth of feathers and no bird, so...
What is going on in our attic?
Well, I'm sure there was like a dead bird at some point.
Yeah.
And then everything but the feathers got eaten by something.
Well, we know from our neighbors that the previous owner used to complain about squirrels getting in a lot.
I've definitely heard what we've heard, I think is a squirrel up there. There was a dog up there once.
That's what Logan was absolutely convinced of.
Well, it was something big.
Yeah.
It sounded bigger than a squirrel. Maybe it was a squirrel.
Just
it sounded
big
bigger.
Old one.
It sounded like a person walking up there.
Oh, that's weird. But, so, we discussed this, and then you just started watching videos on YouTube about people being stuck in tiny caves. And you're like freaking out. You were like almost having a panic attack watching this. And you're like, Ashley, look at this. And I'm like,
a panic attack thinking of it.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't want to be in that situation. But me watching other people go through it does not bother me. So that's how.
I'm going to post at least one of these videos.
Yeah, like, it didn't, like, I would not, I if I was in that situation, I would hate it.
You'd hate it?
I would hate it,
you'd
but...
hate it.
Animal under my bed.
Pause, there's an animal
there's
under
an animal
Naomi's bed.
Under Naomi's bed. Okay, we're back.
Yeah, so I wouldn't like to be in a cave like that.
Okay.
But watching other people do it.
I guess we are different.
We're different.
Yeah, so I'm up in that attic. I'm constantly, like, having to take a break and, like, just sit there. And now I keep thinking, I gotta go back up there. I gotta finish the insulation.
Just send Naomi up.
Oh, Jesus Christ. But no, I was thinking about sending you up because you're not scared.
I don't want to. I don't know what I'm doing.
And it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. You just do your best. That's all you do, is your best.
My best is very bad.
My best isn't so great.
Anyway, good fear.
Thank you.
Like you want to murder me.
No, I'm just thinking about going back to the attic. I'm sorry.
Well, you're going back to work soon, so.
So, yeah, I won't be able to.
Yay.
Except my weekends.
Is there anything else?
Nope, I think that's it.
So, well, are we going to roll or are we going to watch Henry?
We're probably going to watch Henry.
Yeah.
We'll roll if we change our mind.
Yeah, so find out next week.
All right, until then.
Don't confess. I don't know.
Yeah, keep your mouth shut.
Just keep your mouth shut.
Goodbye, everybody.